We're about ready to get started. Welcome to day two of CodeCon. For those of you who've just arrived today, I'm Len Sassman, one of the conference organizers. I'm really pleased with how the conference presentations went yesterday. Really exciting stuff. We've got some great stuff today and some more tomorrow. A bunch of you took off yesterday early before the last panel, which was kind of a shame since it was pretty interesting, and today's is probably even more so. So I would urge you to stick around for that. Before I introduce the next speaker, we have a website administrative announcement to make that Bram is going to do in a minute, and then I have some reminders to make for everybody. Again, the badge color coding, red is staff. If you have any problems, you can go to anybody with a red badge and ask them. And press is green. Be careful when you talk to press. They lie. That's a joke. Don't write that up in any stories, please. And these speakers are orange, I believe, so you can bow before them. But here's Bram with the unfortunate website announcement. And
hey, the ZKS Freedom Server source code, which we announced yesterday, we had up on our site, is not currently up. Don't worry, we didn't get pressured by the man and take it down as a result. The site which codecon.org is currently on is a fairly unstable machine. We've been having problems with it for a while. It's a machine on Havenco, which a whole bunch of people have root on and stuff. And we've been asking Ryan Lackey, who runs this machine, to hand over the domain name to us so we can put it on a more stable machine for a while. And he's not acknowledged any of these requests. So yesterday, codecon.org got /dotted and was apparently taking up some bandwidth. And Ryan noticed and got all pissy about it and removed the file and removed access to be able to change the website of both me and Len, who are the ones who are actually working on the website. And then went and posted in public a couple of places that we were abusing a free service. So if you would like to let Ryan know what you think about this, you can mail him at ryan@havenco.com. That's HAVENCO.com. You can get to the website currently at codecon.deor.org has a slightly updated version of the website on it, and we apologize profusely for the difficulties with regards to the website.
That other website has a link to the source code, too, that's being mirrored by our generous sponsor, linuxfund.org. One thing to note is this conference has taken no donations or contributions from any commercial entity. We've made all of our money off of badge sales and a grant from Linux Fund, and we're really not taking in any money off of this. So this is as streamlined as possible, as cheap as possible to get the best number of best quality people here. Those of you interested in the PGP key signing tomorrow, the way that procedure will work, you need to go to the website and download the list of fingerprints. And I'll make another reminder about this during the break when more people are here. That URL is either codecon.org or codecon.dior.org/pgp.html. And there is information on that. And the link is to the keys.txt file. You download that file, which has the list of all the fingerprints of everybody who decided to participate, and run MD5 on that file. Bring a printout of that file and the MD5 sum to the key signing, and we'll explain the details then. But you must have those two things if you want to participate. Okay, I think that covers all of the boring stuff, and you can get me to shut up in a minute. I'm going to introduce Luke Frenzel, talking about Icon, an image search engine.
And this sounds pretty stupid, but before I get started, could somebody who knows how to use Windows please come up here and help me put my monitor up on that machine?
I don't know how to select the display adapter.
Thank you. All right, as mentioned, I'm Luke Fransel, and I'm going to be presenting my image search engine icon. To start off with, I'd like to give a big shout-out to my friends at Kinko's, where apparently you have to have this thing called a floppy disk or something to print something. I intended to hand out some...
Sorry.
Okay. Power to the people. But okay, so I intended to hand out a white sheet about how this works, but I couldn't get it printed, so I'll just have to follow along up here. But I will translate this into a usable format, like PostScript, and put it up on my webpage so you can download it later. Okay. All right. As I mentioned, Icon is an image search engine. It's maybe a little strange for CodeCon because, well, it's not P2P. It's not decentralized. It's not emergent in any way. It's client-server. It's, it doesn't have any crypto. But I like to think of it as sort of a prototype for what you could do if you had such a network, and then the nodes could talk to each other and exchange information. And I think this would be a useful thing that would be pretty cool. Stupid thing. So it does image similarity calculations using wavelets based on some research by Finkelstein and Charles Jacobs and David Sailson. That's called multi-resolution image querying algorithm. The best reference if you want to read about that is this book, Wavelets for Computer Graphics. I couldn't have done this project without it because they have research papers about this, of course, but this is the sort of the for dummies version. And... it was quite helpful. And it also has pretty pictures. All right. Now, after yesterday's demos, I want to do a quick demo to show you how it works first before explaining how great it is and then maybe not working. So assuming my server is up, I'm going to show you how Icon can match thumbnails to larger images. Let's see how well this shows up. Okay, here's the original image that I'm loading up. Okay, as you can see, it's sort of a night shot with some cars in the foreground driving by. And here's the query. What you do is you give it the URL of an image, and it goes out and downloads it, and it does this processing on it and compares it to all the images in the database. And The best application probably for this is to use a query image that's a thumbnail, let's say a smaller thumbnail that you have on your machine, and you want to search the network for a gigantic machine. Like, for example, let's say you've got a little thumbnail of Pamela Anderson and you want the big one. And I would like to note that I was browsing through my database last night preparing for this, and I noticed some people have been putting some pornography in here, so I'm pretty pleased with that. I was always too shy to do that because I didn't want anybody to see it, but now I don't really care. Okay, thanks for dimming the lights there. All right, now I'm doing a search, and what comes up first is the exact match, which is based on the SHA-1 hash of the image. So if that image is in the database, that's going to come up. Then the ones down below it are the closest matches. As you can see, the exact match is the closest match as well. And then after that, we get the largest image. It's a series of three images. And then underneath that, we have a medium-sized image. So it did actually match. And then after that, the results are kind of random because it's... wait, you don't think the frog looks like that other picture? So how does this work? It uses this multi-resolution image query algorithm. And the first step is to download it, and then you download a bunch of images so that you can form a database. And you process them by converting them into 128 by 128 thumbnails. This puts all the images in a similar size, and it has to be base 2 so that you can do the HAR wavelet decomposition. And that's a pretty good size. And then you convert it to the YQ image color space, which is what's used for American television. It's luminance and then two other that I forget. But luminance is black and white. And that's a pretty good thing for image querying because it contains most of the details of the image. Then what you do is perform a HAAR wavelet decomposition on the on this converted thumbnail for each color channel. You can think of this as sort of a successive averaging process. And then you also store what are called detail coefficients that allow you to reconstruct the original image from the decomposed image. And I don't really understand this very well, so if you want to learn more about it, read this book or check out some wavelet tutorials online. I have a couple of those linked on my website. I couldn't do justice to the explanation. Okay, this leaves you with the average color in the first bin of the of this 128 by 128 array for each color channel, and then about 16,000 other detail coefficients. Now what you do is you take out the average color and you save that, and then you find the top 60 coefficients from those 16,000 for each channel, and you save those, and you quantize them. So if it's a positive coefficient, you make it plus one. If it's a negative coefficient, you make it minus one. And then you insert these 180 coefficients. Actually, you insert the resource ID of the image that has those into what Finkelstein et al. Called the search arrays. And what are these? There's six search arrays, one for each color channel sign combination. And there are, again, 128 by 128 arrays of lists. And you put the resource ID into the list. And then when you're querying, you decompose the image as I just described. And for each of those top coefficients, you can go right into that list and grab out a list of all the images that match at that pixel location. And that's pretty fast. And that's what allowed Finkelstein et al. To develop this image querying system. Their implementation was able to query a database of 20,000 images in under a half a second, compared to some other image search algorithms, which would take 15 minutes for the same kind of thing. Now, as I mentioned, to query the database, you do basically the same thing, except now when you get the 60 coefficients, you look and you get that list, and you get a list of all these images that match at certain points, and you score it based on a metric that they developed that I won't go into now because it's kind of boring. Anyway, so how did I implement this? All right, it's written using Java 1.4, which I'm pleased to note has just been released, which makes my software no longer outrageously forward-looking in terms of requirements. And the reason I use that instead of something else is because it has this new image I.O. package, which allows you to easily convert all these different kinds of images, TIFFs, JPEGs, PNG, whatever, into Java's buffered image format, which made it really easy for me to support a bunch of different images without any code at all. All I have to do is look at the MIME type of the image that I got and then just, you know, get a reader for that MIME type. Since the code's written in Java, I used a servlet implementation. That was kind of an exercise in frustration for me because I'm used to scripting languages where you don't have to recompile in between trying out your searches. So what you have here is just a form that submits the URL to the servlet, and you can specify the number of results that you want. Then the output is kind of interesting. I'll do this query again. So the output is in an XML format, and I used my absolute favorite language, XSLT, to do the transformation. So if you actually view the source on this, there's no HTML, which is pretty nice. You don't have to do anything, no conversion for that. On the other hand, it means it doesn't work at all in any older browser, including Internet Explorer 5 or something like that. No images are stored on my server. It's all metadata about the image. I'll go back here. Let's see here. So Right now, the only metadata I'm storing is the resource ID, which is that's the key in the database, the URL, the original URL, and the width and height. But I can add anything that I want, and when I do, it'll actually be probably a lot more useful. One of the things I really want to add is the ability to have multiple URLs for each image, so that it's obviously possible that an image that's identical to another image would be at a different location. So this could give you a list of all the places where you could find a certain image. All right. But apparently, I don't know if you guys read this last week, but there was a lawsuit where one of the image search engines that's actually kind of useful got sued by somebody who didn't like them linking to their images inline, like I'm doing here. So this is probably illegal. So if the FBI busts me, you know why. All right. Yeah, here's a link. You can look that up later. The errors, like, I'll show you an error. This will be fun. Are pretty pathetic because I didn't want to do any work. So if you put in something that's invalid, it'll give you like a 500 server error. Because I didn't want to define any XML for error conditions. So that's a lot easier. All right, what are some of the problems that this has? Obviously, it sort of works, but it's kind of slow. It's not very multi-user friendly, I don't think, because it actually has to serialize that object every time a request comes in. One thing that here's a list of some of the things that I'd like to do better with the system. One is I'd like to cache a list of images, URLs that have been downloaded so that I don't have to go out and fetch it every time. Currently, the way it works is if you put in a URL, it goes out and downloads that image and transforms it and does the query. And then if you go back and hit reload, it goes out and downloads the image again and transforms it and does the query. But if I saved a list of saying, okay, well, this image is here and this is its signature, then you can grab it. I wouldn't have to go out on the network and get it, which would be pretty fast. One of the things that I think makes this less useful than it really could be is that you can't search for text. Like, if you're looking for a picture of the Mona Lisa, you have to actually already have a picture of the Mona Lisa. And this is one of the things that I think Google's image search engine is really good for. I'll go there. I'm sure you've all seen this, but I just want to show you what I think would be cool. Okay, so you can go in here and search for Mona Lisa. And you'll get back pretty quickly a list of a lot of images that are the Mona Lisa. But, you know, there's this one. It's basically just using the file name and the words on the page. What I think would be cool is if you could, let's say there's a link to this picture, and you could click on it and say, show me similar images to this one. And it would use kind of what I'm doing here for that. And in my own system, I've implemented this, which is, I think, cool. So I'll do the same search for the Mona Lisa on here. Hopefully this will work because it wasn't this morning. Okay, it is. So as you can see, I searched for this image, this exact match, and it comes up. Here's the same image. Here's another different copy. This one's a lower resolution GIF, so it matches across image formats. It's invariant to all that stuff. Here's a nice big copy. That's pretty cool. So let's use this one as a query. So I click on this link that says use this image as a query, and what's going to happen is it's going to fetch this image again. Again, this is a place where that caching would be pretty nice. And it's going to use it as a query and look up other images. So you can kind of explore the database that way, and I think that's pretty interesting. There's that image, exact match, and then there's it as the top score again. And there's a smaller one, another one. So that does actually work. All right. Also, one of the suggestions for research proposals that Finkelstein and his research partners discussed is using multiple wavelet bases and multiple color spaces to kind of improve the matching. And that's one of the things that I was trying to implement with this. And I sort of implemented a framework where you can you just have an interface for the image and an interface for the wavelet and just apply it. But unfortunately, I didn't quite get done with that. So right now, only the HAR wavelet basis and the YIQ image space are defined, which means that you can't search for something using a different wavelet basis or a different color space. There's some problems inherent in that because I would need to change the way the resource ID works, because right now it's just the SHA-1 hash, and so you can just go right into the database and grab that one. But if I change it to allow different wavelet bases, I would need to extend that to say, okay, this is the SHA-1 hash for this image, and it's decomposed with this wavelet basis, and it has this color space. All right, what are some of the things that I'd like to do with this in the future? One thing I intended to have done for here but didn't get done is a resource ID query, where you could just give it a hash of the image that you already have, and then it would look in the database and see what are the similar images based on this hash. I thought that would be a good demo too, but I didn't get that done. Another thing I want to do is a signature query servlet, where you can give it a signature object, probably defined in some XML format or something, and that way it won't have to do the decomposition on the image at all in the first place, because it'll already have it. All right, and then I want to develop a file-based and a database, RDBMS-based backend for the system. Right now it's using this pretty pathetic serialized object, which just gets thrown into memory when the servlet starts up and written out to disks when it quits. So if someone manages to crash it, well, all the images that you've added in the last whenever are screwed. One of the interesting properties of Icon that I didn't mention is that if you add a new image, it gets added to the database. So, I mean, if you search for an image that isn't in the database, it gets added automatically. So some people have been, trying it out, and they try to test to see what's going to come up, and it allows the image to grow, or the database to grow dynamically. All right. Finally, I wanted to define, probably XML RPC interface so ICANN can be accessed programmatically. And then I want to work on using that and, something like Tristero or some other file system or distributed basis system to hook up different ICANN nodes so that you could actually query another node and say, hey, do you have this image? I'm looking for similar ones, and stuff like that, which I think would be a really cool application of an interesting peer-to-peer system. Now I've got some references here. Oh wait, the final thing I want to implement is infra image searching, which what that would do is, like, let's say you had a logo in an image, it would split the image into subparts, each image into subparts, and add each subpart to the database, and then query each one of those. So maybe conceivably you could search for the CNN logo in a picture, something like that. I've got some references here that are also on my webpage at icon.recursion.org. I don't know if you can see this, but you can try them out. References are here. Probably the most important is the fast multi-resolution image query algorithm paper, and this book, which discusses that paper. And then some other things that were helpful to me were the introduction to color site, which explains how to convert from RGB to YIQ image spaces, et cetera. All right. So you want me to try to find some porn? All right. We all know that's why I really wrote this. All right. All right, I need a query. So, where should I get one? Anybody know some good porn sites? What? Bark? Oh, I don't know about that. Actually, Persian Kitty, when I wrote this the first time last summer, I had this big disclaimer. It's like, don't add any porn. The first thing my roommate did when I told him about it is go to Persian Kitty and add a bunch of pornography. So he induced me to write the removal program. I'm kind of interested to see what this will turn up because I don't know what people have been adding to this while it's been up. All right, we'll search for her. This probably won't turn up anything because if it's not similar, the results are pretty random. Last summer, Joey and everybody up at Open Cola was kept trying to add a bunch of images to see. Woo! Pretty sexy, huh? And look at this dribble. Oh, yeah. Anyway, they kept adding a bunch of images, trying to see if this lizard that was in there would come up. All right, are there any questions? Do we have the microphone?
Ted? Okay. Have you thought about distributing the processing for these images and searching? Does the algorithm lend itself fairly well to distribution? Or
actually, I was thinking about that for the Google programming contest. Do you guys hear about that? Yeah. I thought a cool way to do that would be distribute each search array or each search bin onto a different computer so that that would allow you to have a lot more in memory at one time. But aside from that, I haven't really thought about it much, but that's definitely something that would be really cool. Other questions?
So one of the neat applications of something like this could be if somebody could scribble out an image and search for it based on that.
Yep.
Have you done any tests with that kind of thing?
Actually, that's what the original research paper used. They had an application where... Actually, let me pull up their page. It's... I'll pull up a page of these guys in Brazil who did the same thing because they have some cool animated GIFs of exactly this happening. They mostly used fine art images. So you draw this. Can you see this? Yeah. You draw this haystack, and you know all these pictures of things that sort of look like haystacks come back, which is pretty cool. So here's down here. So here you can see an animated GIF of somebody drawing a shark, and as they draw, the shark comes up as the match. The reason why I haven't implemented this is because, I really don't know how to program GUI codes, and I don't really want to find out. So, but yeah, that's definitely an application that would be pretty cool, and especially for like a desktop box, that would be a definite advantage.
One thing I noticed is since you largely reduce an image down to a set of numeric components, you can use that as a piece of metadata you can stick into any indexing system, even like Mojo Nation, for example.
Yep. Yeah, that's another thing that would be nice is if there was databases of these signature objects. As I said, I want to define a format for this wavelet signature object, which is it's not unique. It's a semi-unique fingerprint of the object. And I wanted to find a format for that so that different implementations can pass it around and talk to each other and say, do you have the image that looks like this? And that way you can cooperate with other nodes on the network or different search engines and stuff like that. Someone back there.
Is what's standing between this and better results a larger database?
Yeah, primarily. Because, maybe not primarily. I haven't tried it with more than 800 images. But the original researchers had 20,000, and they got pretty good results. They also considered it a success if the painted query matched the target image within 20 And I'm usually using 5 images, as you can see here, but you can jack it up to 20. Another thing that I want to do is define some sort of cutoff score where images are clearly not related, because there's a clear correlation between how related an image and how the highest scores are actually negative. So how negative the score is. So maybe there's a threshold somewhere where I can say, okay, these results are totally not related. Cut it off and don't display anymore.
And what about the applications for this as it gets better as a blacklisting tool? Something that sits on a network-attached filter.
Yeah, that's one of the possible applications that I try not to think about. I think, you know, all technology can be used for good and evil. So, you know, it can be used to find pornography. It could possibly be used to block pornography. But I'm not going to investigate that area of research. Actually, there is a paper that used a similar technique to try to block pornography, and it worked like crap. So, who knows? You know, other questions? Oh, here's one up here.
The problem with porn blocking, of course, being you're trying to prevent a three-dimensional image that our brains can parse, and you're trying to do it using like a two-dimensional array of pixels. And
yep.
Faces look a heck of a lot like bodies in 2D. So, but I was just wondering, it might make an interesting visualization to go ahead and find just sequences of images that are similar to each other and then actually morph from one to the next according to a
yep.
beat or to whatnot. Then you might actually, I mean, I'm just wondering if you've, if I'm wondering if your wavelet system has any direct applications to discovering the basically how to morph from one image to the next or something like that.
Some of the prominent morphing technologies actually use wavelets. The reason why wavelets are so useful is because you can transmit an image progressively. So as I mentioned, at the 0-0 component of each of these color arrays is the average color. And as you go out to a 2x2, then you have the average color plus some detail coefficients that'll get you a 4x4 representation of the original image. And you can keep doing that until you have the original image. So you can transmit stuff progressively, which is really useful. And you can also use wavelets to kind of find gross features. That's why this works, because the highest score or the largest coefficients are the ones where there's sort of a feature in the image that's pretty prominent and matches well. And that's why people use wavelets to do morphing. You can morph from one image to another using wavelet algorithms to sort of change them progressively from one to the next.
One other question I have is, have you seen any interesting effects perhaps from rendering wavelets of sound data as visual images or either way?
Man, you got it right on. There's a couple other tools. This is called fast multi-resolution image query by sketching. So some other researchers have used what they call query by humming. So you kind of hum a couple bars of the song, and it transforms that into a wavelet and tries to search for in a song database. And I would actually like to implement that as an MP3 comparison tool, sort of like what Relatable does. I don't know how their algorithm works since Pat did. What's that? Oh, yeah. Which ones? The signature objects or the actual hash? The signature objects are about 20K as Java objects. So, that might be a little big to transmit over the internet, but in a database, it's nothing. Go, Joey. Anything else? There's one.
I'm not sure that I understand how their algorithm works, but from what you've said, would it not match a very light version, like a flushed out colored version and a darker version of the same picture? Would it consider those to be very different in the sort of first stage?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. The reason they used YIQ is because it's very resistant to color shifting, but you're probably right. It's probably not very resistant to actually shifting the luminance of the image, because that's one of its primary search characteristics. And one of the other things I've noticed about my system is that it does not really work on black and white images because all the information is encoded in the Y channel, basically, and the other stuff is just garbage. And so if I really want to make this more useful, I would have to investigate like why that's happening and how to fix it exactly.
Actually, as an answer to the question, I take series of images often with my camera, and I have them up on web pages, and I put them all into your database. And ones that were largely series that had different exposure times and stuff, but almost exactly the same image, never matched.
Really?
Yes.
So there you go.
Perhaps what you need to do is to sort of have multiple database indexes, one for each of the Y, E, Q.
Yep.
And do, you've probably already thought of this.
Well, one thing that I want to do is, or one of the reasons I want to investigate using different color bases is because then if I find the high matches in each color basis, like YIQ, RGB, LUV, if you find the highest matches in that, they're most likely the highest matches of all the images. And the ones that don't match in each kind of provide an intersection or... Yeah, the intersection of all of them are the best matches.
Yeah. You could go ahead and convert your. You could go ahead and convert all your database before parsing an image and doing the hash on it. You could convert it into a standard contrast space, so that you know if an image is overall dark versus an image that's overall light. Well, the actual pixels themselves, relative to each other, share the same offsets.
Yeah, that's definitely a good idea too.
Actually, yeah, I was going to suggest pretty much the same thing, that normalizing the image to standard brightness would basically solve that problem.
Yeah. Did I close my window? Psst. Stupid. Well, I'll leave it up for you guys surfing from the webcam. I don't know. Oh, no! No! Woo! That was a close one. I'm just going to do another query here. This is The Great Wave, pretty famous picture. As you see, it matches. And I thought of one question that you guys might ask me but didn't. You could ask me, did Luke... bias the database by throwing in a bunch of images that all are the same in order that his demo would look good? And the answer would be yes. I went out and found a bunch of picture copies of each image so that they would match. I think that once the database gets relatively large, that ceases to be a major problem. But, you know, when it's small, some of the matches, like the frog, are kind of lame. Or Albert Einstein. Any other questions? All right. Well, thanks a lot. Oh, and I want to apologize for using Microsoft Word and Windows XP because I just got this laptop this week, so I haven't had time, I swear. But I saw that he had Windows XP yesterday, so that made me feel a little bit better.